Good afternoon. Happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is when you send a card to somebody you love. But can you love the whole world unconditionally? Can you love people who despise you, who use you, who step on you? Or do you only love the people that give you things? Give you what you want. Try to make you happy. Anybody can love those people. But to love unconditionally, to love everybody without respect for creed, color, race, just to love, that's hard to do for most people. Yet, if you only knew who you were, you'd be able to do this. For you are love. Your real nature is love. And when you learn to love yourself, you can love everybody. But you have to learn to love yourself first. Ready to love yourself. Not the ego or the person who makes mistakes or the person who does all kinds of mischievous things. I'm speaking of loving the self. Your real self, your true self. Which is a substratum of the ego. Which is beyond person, place, and thing. The beginning of which this world is but a shadow. When you begin to feel and realize that love is all-pervading, omnipresent, you can then love everybody and everything. But you have to discover this for yourself. I welcome you with all my heart. It's good to be with you again. We have a few new faces here. Let me just say that I'm not a preacher. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a teacher. Why am I? There's no answer. Know yourself, and you'll know me. You can't have jnana without bhakti. Or you can't have wisdom without devotion. Ponder this. In order to have jnana, which is the highest state, you have to have bhakti also. Otherwise, just to have jnana will make you cynical, obnoxious, irreverent, rude. And all the rest of these things. To have bhakti without jnana makes you passive and ignorant. It makes you into a being that believes it doesn't have to do anything. You just sit around doing nothing all day. People step all over you. You become a doormat for people. That's having bhakti without jnana. They both come together, bhakti and jnana. both the same. There's no difference. It's like a man and a woman coming together. The man is the Yani, the woman is the Bhakta. And they produce a child called self-realization. But the Yani by himself cannot do this. And the Bhakta by herself cannot do this. There has to be a union for self-realization to appear. Ponder this. To become totally free and liberated, to be in a state of unalloyed happiness, without change, Jnana and Bhakti have to come together. You can't have one without the other. For instance, many people who read books, let's say by Nisargadatta Maharaj, books on Jnana, become very sarcastic, arrogant. When you take words out of these books, they sound great, they sound good. They tell you that you are absolute reality, you are pure awareness, you are bliss consciousness. This is the truth about you, of course. But when you take an egotistical person and feed them this information, the ego increases tenfold. That's why spiritual life is dangerous. Without a teacher, without someone who can point the way to you. Now, what is bhakti really? We all know bhakti is devotion, but what does it really mean? It means total surrender of everything. Your body, your life, your affairs. Total surrender to the self. Complete absolute surrender. This is what bhakti really is. When you understand that you're not a doer, you give everything up to God, yourself. It means that everything that you've ever done in your life has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It is all God's lila. So you're not responsible, really. I've got to be real careful when I use these words. Because when I say you're not responsible, it means for some people they can do anything they like. It gives them license to be rude, arrogant. But really, a person truly on the spiritual path realizes by themselves that they have no life of their own, is God playing your life. When you realize this, we have an inclination of what I'm talking about, and you can feel it in your heart will open. And you will laugh. For you realize from the moment you were born, it was really God that was born. Consciousness that was born. You have been consciousness all this time. You were never the body. All the affairs that you went through, all the experiences that you've had, it is God that is experiencing these things, not you. You have absolutely nothing to do with this. To illustrate this, there's a story about Rama and Sita walking through a forest. They see a beautiful lake. Sita tells Rama, let's go skinny dipping. So Rama says, okay. And he takes off his bow and his arrow that Rama always wore. And he sticks the arrow in the sand next to the bow and go for a swim. When they come back again, Rama gets dressed and goes for his arrow and he's stuck in the sand. But when he looks, he notices that he pierced a frog. And he sticks the arrow in the sand. And Rama said, Mr. Frog, why don't you complain when I suck you? Why don't you cry out in pain? Why did you just allow me to stick you with the arrow? Why don't you complain about this? And the frog said, Rama, I have taken refuge in you. You are my mother, you are my father, you are my children. You are the whole universe. I have no life of my own. It is your life I am living. And you are all pervading. Therefore the arrow you pierced me with is really you. So why should I cry out? Why should I be in pain? Why should I complain? When it is your love that you've given me. For you are the embodiment of love. This is bhakti. To have that kind of an attitude. Now what is jnana? An example of jnana is a story about the man who has five children, five sons. He loved his sons very dearly. He played baseball with them. Took them fishing, took them hiking. He was very close to his children, to his five sons. One day there was a big earthquake. And the five sons were killed. So the man arranged for the funeral. He didn't become emotional, he wasn't sad or depressed. And the wife was watching him. There at the funeral, everybody was there, all the relatives, they were crying and screaming with the five sons. But Yanni just smiled. And he got upset. After the funeral, the wife said to him, you bastard. How can you do this to your sons? You didn't shed one tear. You loved your sons. You grew up around them. They grew up around you. You're so close to them. And then you look as if you don't even care about them. So then he smiled obediently and he said to his wife, "Darling, last night I had a dream. And in the dream I was a king. I had 5 sons also in the dream. I loved them dearly. One day there was a war. And my 5 sons had to go fight in the war and they were all killed. And I woke up. So my question to you is, for whom shall I grieve? The 5 sons I lost in the dream, or the 5 sons I lost in this dream?" If we call this life simply a dream, it just appears to be a little longer than the dreams we have when we go to sleep. Now, if Yanni didn't have any bauxite, it would be a sour state. But Yanni was full of love, compassion, and wisdom. And let's look at our lives, where we live. Every day we find something wrong with our life. Every day we feel there's something going on we don't like. Somebody's trying to hurt us. Somebody's trying to do something to us. Is this true? Can anyone really do anything to you? If you understood that you were dreaming, would you react the way you react to things? If you really knew that you were dreaming, just like in the dream you have at night, if you knew you were dreaming, you would laugh at the whole situation going on. If you were aware of your dreams at night, would you go out and do things that hurt people? Trying to save the world with all the things that you do? You realize this is a dream, I'm going to wake up. You may understand that you're dreaming. It's not real. And yet most of us refuse to look at this world the same way. Anything that is real is permanent. The definition of reality is non-change. Things that do not change. Yet can you think of anything in this world that does not change? Can you think of anyone that does not change? Person, place, thing, animal, bug, insect, mountain, sky. Everything changes. Everything is in a state of flux. Nothing is ever the same. So how can you say the world is real? You were simply born, you believe you were born, and you've been brainwashed into thinking things like they are. Yet nothing is the way it is. Nothing. When you just explain everything is in a state of flux, everything is moving, constantly changing, changing, changing. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago. Your features have changed, your ideas have changed, all kinds of things have changed. You're a totally different person. So the question is, the world is not real. If the dream is not real, then who am I? Where do I belong? That is the ultimate question. And you never answer that question. You simply pose the question to yourself, but you never answer it. What is beyond mortality, beyond finite understanding? Just to dwell on this question is sufficient. Just to dwell on who am I? Where did I come from? What is my source? Is sufficient. That's what you have to do. But never look for an answer. Remember, whenever you have an answer for the question, it is your ego that's answering. And ego is playing games with you, making you think of the solution to this problem, and you'll live happily ever after. It doesn't happen that way. The person who lives happily ever after is the person who knows that he's not the body. He's not the mind. He's not the world. But the person identifies with the world, with the body, with the mind, goes through all kinds of trials and tribulations. Everybody's looking for happiness. Everyone's looking for animal white happiness. But you're going about it in the wrong way. You believe things will make you happy, external things, people, places. So you run here, you run there, looking for the right teacher, looking for the right book, looking for something external to give you happiness and realization. How disappointed you become when it doesn't happen that way. It can't happen that way, it's impossible. We're going after the world of change. Everything must change in this world, that's what you're chasing, something that will change eventually. It will not be the same. And you're chasing that to find your happiness. How sorry. Your happiness is always within yourself. There's no way you had to go, there's no special book you had to read. There's no special feature you have to find. It's always been within you. And it makes no difference who you are, where you are. You can be working in the marketplace. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, a baker, shoemaker, a meatball. It makes no difference what you are. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Unfortunately, the rug has to be pulled out from under us many times before we wake up. We refuse to awaken to the reality. We always think the grass is green on the other side. So we keep chasing people, we keep going after people, after things. Until the day comes when you are suffering so much, everything has been taken from you, you feel naked. Then you will do something constructive. Is it that you will say, what has happened to me? Who am I really? What am I doing here? Who are all these people that I see? What's the reason of my existence? Why was I born? It is only when you start asking these questions to yourself, not to other people, but to yourself, that the answers will begin to come. For the essence has always been within you. You've always been there. But that's the only place they are. They're not up in the sky, or in Tibet, or in Japan. They're right where you are right now. Everything you're looking for is right where you are right now. Everything. If you refuse to believe it. Because as you know, as you'll leave this afternoon and go home, most of you will revert right back to where you were before. Thinking that, believing that things affect you from the outside. Believing that you're trying to do something constructive to make this place a better world. Seeking out for your rights. Fighting for survival. And pretty soon you'll find that you're 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. You're bewildered, flustered. You have no idea what life is all about. It passes you by so fast. And it's time to leave your body. But there are some of you who hear what I'm saying. Not with your mind, with your heart. Who are willing to do something about it. And that something is to dive within. Deeper than you've ever gone. Without looking at time or space or hours. But living spontaneously in the world. Living in the moment. Realizing this moment is eternity. Being still, not talking too much, never arguing or debating, or a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion as self. You start trying to convert people, to make people do what you want. Instead, you begin to leave everybody alone, you leave things alone. Leave yourself alone. You begin to inquire, who am I? You go about your business. Your business takes care of itself. Your ego begins to surrender itself. You feel happier every day for no reason at all. No one can ever take this happiness away from you. For it never came to you. You've always had it. How can people take away what you are, what you've been? They can't. So find out about yourself. Really find out about yourself. What you really are. Are you really a man or a woman? Do you really have to try to straighten this world out? The one who made this world, so to speak, knows how to take care of it with only help from you. Look at people beating their brains out, trying to do this in the world, that in the world, trying to change people, trying to change things. This has been going on since the beginning of time. And no one's ever changed anything. Things aren't falling the way they're supposed to. Things are happening the way they're supposed to. Your duty is to align yourself with reality, with truth. And not see things in this world and say, I have to change them. Because if I don't do it, somebody else will. And if nobody does, the world will become rotten and spoiled. On the contrary. The world becomes rotten because you're dealing with it in your way. When you stop trying to change the world, you'll see that everything is in its right place and falling the way it's supposed to be. There are no mistakes. No mistakes have ever been made, none are being made, none ever will be made. The whole universe emanates from you. You have created everything that you see. It comes out of your mind. You're gods. Your mountains, your sky. Everything that you behold comes out of your mind. It's your creation. It doesn't exist when you're sleeping. It only exists in your waking state. When you're sleeping, you know there's no world going on. Or you can say, well, the world is still there even though I'm sleeping. How do you know? When you're asleep, you're dead to this world. So nothing is the way you think it is. Everything seems so confused sometimes. Do not fall into the trap of being a worldly person. Rather do what you have to do to awaken to your real self, your real nature. And then see what you see in this world. Then see if you'll be judgmental. Then see if you'll complain about anything. Then see if there are good people and bad people in this world. In other words, first know yourself. Then see if you'll judge the world. And to me, the easiest way to do this is to find out who you are, to practice self-inquiry. To inquire, to whom do these things come? Who's feeling these things when you first get up in the morning? The first feelings that come to you, the first thing that you see. Ask yourself, to whom does it come? Who feels this? Who sees it? And you will answer, I do. Then realize that you're not the eye that sees all these things. It's not you, you're not the eye. And if I'm not the eye, who am I? Who am I if I'm not the eye? Never answer this question. But keep still. As you keep still, other thoughts will bombard you. Go back to the beginning again and say, to whom do these thoughts come? Who is thinking these thoughts? I am. Again, remember, I is not you. I am separate from you. And you'll feel it whenever you say, I am this and I am that. I feel sick, I feel depressed, I feel hungry, I feel this. You're not speaking about you. You're speaking about I. I have nothing to do with you whatsoever. Continue to inquire, what is the source of the I? Who am I? Do this over and over again. And one of these days you will awaken to the truth and be free. You can alternate this with the I Am meditation. For those of you who are used to meditating, the I Am meditation is very powerful. Cause reality to be envisioned by you. And the way you do this is we'll do it right now. You make yourself comfortable, you close your eyes. You become cognizant of your breathing. Listen to your breath. For a while, practice Vipassana meditation. Observe the feelings in your body. Observe the source in your mind, but do not try to change anything. You have become the witness to your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. You are the witness. You have found watching yourself. You're observing yourself totally, completely. You're observing the feelings in your body. You're observing the thoughts in your mind. You're observing your breath. Now you ask yourself the question, what is the source of the observer? And you answer it by saying, I am. With your respiration, you inhale, you say, I. You exhale, you say, I am. This makes you very peaceful, very relaxed. It brings out the reality from deep within your heart. And you keep doing this over and over again. You'll find something interesting happening to you. You're growing spiritually. You feel happier than you ever felt. You feel a little joy emanating from you. You inhale, you say I, you exhale, you say am. I am. It's now time to play. Right. We play Slum to Guru every week. We write down questions and pass it around. Any more questions? You never have any questions. There's a question in the back.
You said that anything that reflects you is
permanent. Yes. This whole world cannot possibly be permanent. But it changes. It keeps on changing all the time. The only thing that's real is permanence. The only reality that you really have is yourself. The self that you are is permanent. It never changes. But everything else does change. So that's again searching for yourself which is permanent. You have to search for it everywhere within yourself. You do this by diving deeply within yourself, by practicing self-inquiry. I kind of just said something. and when they will find the self, which has always been, always will be, and never changes. The reason why does this change? The whole world changes. Can you see anything that does not change? Everything changes constantly, continuously. So by identifying with changing things, you always become disappointed. So you go searching until you find reality. But you can't search outside of yourself. Everything must change out there, wherever you go. But what you really are never changes. Pure awareness. Absolute reality. And this never changes, this is eternal, this is what you are, this is your real nature. Therefore find yourself and be free. Does that make any sense? Good, it's not supposed to.
What I've heard
is
the only thing real is
mm-hmm. Just the reality as far as you know. But find it for yourself. Go within yourself and see. Where is consciousness? Where is pure awareness? Only you can find it for yourself. Nobody can explain it to you. It's beyond explanation. It's something that can be experienced. Nothing you can talk about. So experience it for yourself. And you have nothing to say.
Rama, if that is all true, what is, if we experience pure consciousness for a moment, what force is it that compels these imprints to continually arise in the mind? We want to experience what consciousness is and be established in that, and yet when we try to do that, when we do that for a second, it's like weeds continually coming up. You cut them out and you have a second of that, and then continuously there's this force of these imprints, these motions of mind.
This is called false imagination. You say this is going on, but is it really going on? Why have you been hypnotized and believe it's going on? Well, are you saying you're talking about real or the true?
But it obstructs experiencing pure consciousness.
It appears to obstruct it, but it really obstructs it. The truth is there's only pure consciousness, there's nothing else.
What force makes this appear to be obstructing?
No force whatsoever.
It's arising.
To whom is it arising?
It's arising to pure consciousness.
No, that's pure consciousness.
The pure consciousness is aware that it's arising.
Pure consciousness is aware of itself. It's self-contained absolute reality, that's pure consciousness.
But awareness is aware that there's thoughts sprouting up.
Pure awareness is aware of itself as pure consciousness. As absolute reality. It's not aware of itself as a material relative world at all. The relative world is something to you. To us. But the relative world does not exist to consciousness.
But how can the mind be aware of itself? Are you saying that awareness isn't it awareness that's aware that the mind is moving?
No, awareness is only aware of itself. It's not aware of what you're talking about.
So how does the mind have awareness?
The mind has no awareness whatsoever. There's no awareness in the mind. There's no mind.
So what is it that's aware of the mental impressions?
It's illusion. That's all. The illusion of some of us have such a thing is happening, nothing like that is actually happening.
Isn't the mind like using awareness, using the energy of awareness to be aware of?
No. There's no mind, there's no energy, there's nothing like that happening. The only thing that's going on is pure awareness, and pure awareness is beyond anything imaginable. It's beyond the thinking. Beyond the analyzing is beyond everything that you can ever imagine. But somehow we become hypnotized. We're hypnotized into believing that this is all real. The only thing that you explain to me is all hypnosis. Mass hypnosis. Everybody believes the same thing. But nothing exists like this. It's like the snake in the rope. When you think you see a snake, it's really a rope. It's like the world in the mirage. You see water in the desert, it's not where it was, the mirage, it's sand, but you see the water. It's like the sky is blue. The sky really isn't blue. If you go up into the sky, it's black, but it appears blue, so it was. It's like a cloud resting on top of a mountaintop. But upon closer examination, it doesn't rest on the mountaintop at all. It's like watching the railroad tracks turn into one track, if you've ever done that. There are two tracks and you look down the railroad tracks and turn into one track. All these things are optical illusions. They appear real, they think they're real. But upon full investigation, you find that they don't exist. And so this is what you're talking about. There appears to be hindrances in our realization. There appears to be a mind that keeps stopping us. It keeps causing things to happen to us. But it's an appearance, it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. It's an optical illusion. Find out what does exist by diving deep within yourself. There's no way you can ever find out by diving within yourself.
So when the mind appears to arise, just ignore it?
Of course.
Don't even be concerned to one bit of it.
When you're concerned with your mind is saying it's real, you're giving it credit for being real. So it becomes more powerful. And your ego inflates. But when you just look at the mind, when you just observe the mind without giving any credit, without giving any words, giving any thoughts, just observe the mind is nothing but an accumulation of thoughts. So the mind is a bunch of thoughts. Thoughts of the past and thoughts of the future. When you just observe the mind, look at the mind without trying to do anything to it, it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Until it disappears in all its entirety, then it goes away and then it comes back. So nobody has a mind. You're mindless.
What is this thought, Ron?
What is this thought? An illusion. Something that comes to you doesn't really exist. And again, like the way in the mirage.
So to me it's just a sound.
Maybe there's a sound.
It's a sound in your head. A silent sound that only you hear.
When you go deeper, you won't hear it. Go deeper within yourself and you won't hear the sound. I don't even want to make sound like this.
Ever since I met you.
You know how few you finish.
Well, it's a motion. It's a it has to be sound. What is sound? Sound is vibration, motion. So there's motion arising somewhere, on like superimposed on consciousness. There's some motion.
Go further. Where does the sound come from? Where does the motion come from? Who created the motion? Who created the sound? Where does it come from? It comes out of you.
Emptiness.
It can't come out of emptiness. How can emptiness create a sound? It comes out of your mind. Because we're just by diving deep within. From a quiet room does it come? Who hears the sound? Who hears sounds? You want to commit yourself to the hospital?
I am, that's why I'm here. Isn't this the hospital?
Yeah.
I got the wrong address.
You'll be all right, Bob. It takes a little time. Anyone need to ask anything else?
love, everybody's insane except for your man who's awake, right?
So he was awake as more insane than anybody else. According to human standards. According to human standards.
I know, according to reality, he's the only one who's sane. Everybody else is insane.
Yeah. Silly insane, what's the difference? So insane.
How does your wife manage to live with you?
She doesn't. I wish I'd play some more music.